Hello, and welcome to Shine On, Sista, where you learn to shine your light in life, business, and beyond. All right, and welcome to Shine On, Sista. Today we have Tierra and Dumaybe, known as the Light Sisters, and that is with a Z. And they are global nomads who are dedicated and passionate about spreading, you know, their signature brand of light and joy with the world. And these two offer a holistic approach to mind, body, and soul connection through a range of in-person sessions, online classes, workshops, and worldwide retreats. And they really focus on deepening spirituality and bringing healing by using a variety of tools such as energy work, dream interpretation, and numerology. And it's really through ancestral healing, specifically from African descent, to help kings and queens access their truth, understanding their ancestral roots, activate self-healing, and discover their spiritual purpose. So as you can see, dear ones listening, you are in the presence of some powerful sisters. So welcome, Light Sisters, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us, Jennifer.
Yes. So excited. And I just had to give your, like, a full intro, because you all do so much and you incorporate so many different elements into your work. And so I just wanted to highlight that, because it's really, really incredible the work that you do. And I just appreciate what you bring to this earth right now, because we need it.
Oh my God.
So that's kind of like where you are today, but I would love to hear, how did you start? You know, the Light Sisters, like I said, it's two different folks, so you've come together. So how did you start on your individual path, and then how did you come together?
Yeah, well, Dumaybe and I, we met in college, in undergrad, at Ohio University. That's where we got our first bachelor's degree at. And for me, personally, Tierra, I have always had gifts, and I've always been a little different and special in my own type of way. You know, I've had a lot of dreams, and, like, those dreams would start coming true, and I was, like, seeing things that weren't actually there, and, you know, it was kind of hard, especially growing up, that, you know, we're not in the culture where it was always so acceptable, you know, to be different, to be, you know, that child seeing things.
Yeah,
you know?
Where did you grow up specifically?
I'm from Ohio.
Okay, so, yeah, Ohio, so the Midwest.
Yeah, I grew up in Ohio, born and raised, and it was definitely just a new experience for me, and because I was a child, I only had, like, my mom to talk to, and it was acceptable in that sense, because I would have dreams, and so my mother, she's also a dreamer, and my great-grandmother was also a dreamer, and she was the one who was really into dreams, and, like, into, you know, looking up what the meanings of those dreams are, figuring out how that applies to your life, and then my mother helped me growing up with those dreams. Cool. Now, the other stuff, you know, learning about different, you know, realms, different dimensions, different, all that stuff, that was on me, but as far as the dreams go, I spent the whole life talking about dreams and, like, figuring out exactly what those dreams meant and how that pertains to my life.
Cool.
So when I was baby, which is in college, that's how we also connected as well.
I love to hear, though, that it was, there was a piece of that that was nurtured for you. It wasn't the popular thing, but there was an element of nurture, because, well, we also have, like, the visionaries and the dreamers, as far as they have a dream, you know, so it's good to here, you know, especially when you feel outcast or different, like, what was your journey? So, yeah, so do maybe That's kick so us cool. off with your origin story.
Yeah, so I'm originally born in Nigeria. So
okay.
I have strong Nigerian roots.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, it was very similar to here in the sense of a lot of dreams, a lot of just feeling and seeing things that weren't quote-unquote normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big turning point for me, my grandmother is very, very spiritual, very into our native tribe. I'm Igbo. So when I was sick as a young child, she always pushed me to use herbs and to focus on my mental belief and really believe in something greater.
Really?
Not from a perspective, but a spiritual perspective. So, and again, as a young child, you don't really notice. But as you got older, little things she instilled in me became part of my life. And then I started breaking through those barriers and diving more into my own spirituality more into herbs, to teas, and then dreams, and then so on and so forth. So when Tara and I met in college, it was kind of like looking at the mirror and saying, whoa, you're weird too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was one of those things where we met each other. We used to perform and dance together, and that's how we initially became friends. But it was interesting because a lot of like strange things were happening on campus.
Yeah,
and you know, for me, I was experiencing it, and nobody else was seeing the same things that I was seeing, and then she was experiencing things, and no one else was seeing the same thing that she was seeing. So when we both were seeing the same exact thing, it was like that. Oh my gosh, I know we're going to be friends forever.
And yeah. it was one of those things where we didn't want to say anything because you don't just say stuff out loud like that. And then we're just looking awkwardly at each other and just walking. And it was just awkward for a few minutes. Yeah. And finally, I'm like, okay, do you feel something? Because this is something here. But we went to Ohio University, which is one of the top 10 most haunted places in the U.S.
Which
there's a TV
I didn't
series.
Know. Yeah.
America's Most Haunted Places.
Yes.
And it aired exactly the same year we went to college.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was also kicking up a lot of activity probably too.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's a very old school too. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, it was made in 1804 and Ohio became a state in 1803. Ugh. So it's been a university since then. So much has happened since then. So it was one of those things where we were really just like happy that we could relate to each other in that sense. Because we're like, oh my goodness. And so then we talked about our dreams. And I was like, oh, okay, so here's what I did growing up. You know, this is how I looked at dreams. And then every single day we would tell each other our dreams and journal our dreams. And like
look at each meaning of everything that happened in the dream. So over years, we accrued all this knowledge of dreams based on our own individual dreams. And then our friends got close and knew we did that, so they would come to us. And after like 3 or 4 years, we realized like, wow, you know, we can basically interpret any dream.
Yeah, you studied it. You created like your own library of things. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I love it.
You put two and two together, like we're both very intuitive, so we're like using our intuition and using our knowledge and putting both together.
Yeah, and that seems like that's what you do now. So, well, first I just love, like you kind of, like you had a little piece, both of you had that grandmother nurturer that like planted those seeds, which is cool. And then especially as like young, when you're young, you're not skeptical. And to me, I feel like you're closer to that side of the veil anyway, where you're like, yeah, I know this to be true. You know, and then even though like growing up and then going to school, it's kind of almost like you felt, not that you were feeling alone, but like once again, it's like, here I am, the only one, but you're also used to adapting to that. And so even when you were together, it wasn't obvious at first until it was like, okay, this is undeniable. Like, and I've met the Light Sisters. I've had the pleasure. So they were telling me stories about their haunted campus and how they're hearing clanging chains and stuff. And like everybody else in the room, like, isn't blinking. And they're looking like, this is so loud and distracting, or it's waking me up at night, like real stuff.
Yeah,
amazing. And then the bringing it back to the dream interpretations, which I used to interpret my dreams too, and hearing you all talk, I'm like, I should do that, because I got a lot of knowledge from it. You know, there's so much that we know on a subconscious level, or if you ask a question before you go to bed, you will get the answer, you know, in your dream. And I can know that, like, feel that I was just out of practice, and I can't imagine if I had just, like, stayed with it and studied it. And that's what you've done. You've stuck with it. You've studied it and probably also infused other things, other knowledge that you all have to support that work. And it's in just what I know of your work now is that that's what you've done. You've taken, like you said, you study herbs. You know, there's that ancestral piece, which is what I wanted to talk about, too. And then just infusing that together, you know, like, they haven't heard of this before. You're not like following a formula. It's like you're creating something to support people's needs in your own unique way. So how has that unfolded?
Beautifully, but it's really been a journey.
Yeah.
It's been so much of a journey because the business we've had for a year and a half, we've been working together for about 8 years, seven and a half years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, so I really focus a lot on past life and ancestral work. And then Tierra.
That's due maybe.
Yes, this is Dumaybe.
And then I, Tierra, I focus more on the dream interpretations and the numerology perspective of things. We both have a big umbrella of, you know, gifts that we possess.
Right.
Specialties are more in the past life and ancestral healing for Dumaybe, and then the dream interpretations and numerology for me.
Yeah. Yes, which I also love how you all focus on your superpowers, or, you know, and you bring them together. Yes!
Exactly. It all complements one another.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, it's just about understanding the numbers behind what you're seeing in, like, your day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's about, because I know, especially with the past life ancestral work, people are so intrigued by past life without realizing that to really heal, most of the work is really ancestral. Because we look at ourselves, you always say it, and you always say it like, oh my goodness, I'm turning this to my mother, or like, because your dad had this, your brother's going to have this, and your great dad had that. Like, things are passed down so strong ancestrally. It's so amazed at how much weight we carry or how much wisdom we carry from my ancestry. So I know us, we've really used that to hone in on what working on what ancestral weight is, what ancestry is, how you can gain that wisdom without carrying that suffrage or the weight that you carry. And then looking at the numbers even behind your birthday to sit there and look like, well, this is naturally what you're gifted in your life purpose. Now, how do you harness that by honoring your ancestors and shedding off that, like, you know, do that you have ancestrally that you're carrying?
Yeah.
So all compliments.
Yeah. Which is just like a full body of work. Like, people leave your presence probably correct. Like, all right, I got it. So, and speaking of that, you know, because I'm sure people are like, okay, you know, listening in, like, all right, so how do you work with people, and what are people coming to you with? Because, you know, there's the thing you do, but sometimes people don't know what they need. Like, not everyone's coming to you saying, I need ancestral work, even though it turns out that is what they need. So can you speak on that? Who comes to you? What do they need? And how do you work with folks?
Yeah, so a lot of people come to us when they're in the phase in their life that they are trying to understand the shift that's going on with them.
It's like shift or transition.
Yeah. So it's like whether they have tapped into their own intuitive abilities or they're, you know, awakening spiritually, they have had some type of experience or they've witnessed something that, you know, made them think about, okay, you know what? I need to learn more about what's actually happening.
Got it.
And when they come to us, even though they don't know what they're looking for, some people are very, very strict on what they're looking for. They know, okay? They're like, you know what? I need to know the numbers behind this, and I need to know what that means, you know? But a lot of people don't know. So when they do come to us, they are looking just for guidance.
Yeah.
And that's how we can, like, you know, usually direct them in that, reading their energy, figuring out what it is going on. Let's hear what's happening to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, why you come to us? How did you find this? You know, and then we go from there.
I want to piggyback that guidance thing because I know a big thing, it's not just like wanting guidance, it's the fact that they're sitting there like, I need to really dig deep and I want to transform. And I think that's the big difference because I know when people are just seeking someone to tell me this or do that.
Yeah.
That's not us. That's not what we dig much deeper into that.
Yeah.
And I know we get another set of clientele that usually there's a physical ailment. There's some type of chronic illness that cannot.
Yeah.
And they're like, they've tried a lot of medicine.
Yeah.
They've tried a lot of things and they're stuck in the same cycle. Mm. And they're at their point where they're truly saying that, honestly, this is the only other thing I've never tried.
Or
they go out completely on faith.
Yeah.
So I would say huge one third of our clients or our seekers come strictly from that.
Straight from that. And then it's also one of the things where people are going through cycles.
Yeah.
And when they start realizing the cycle that they're going through, they're trying to break that cycle.
Got it. So like repeating the same issue or the same stuff is coming up. Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes that can be due to past life. That could be due to ancestral weight. That could be due to, you know, a blockage in their energy and their chakras or whatever it is, but they are going through a cycle and they're trying to break that cycle. So,
and then I think another percentage comes from people who are already healers.
Yeah.
Who are just looking deeper in their journey.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Cause that's what I was wondering. Like, are these newbies that don't have the language or are they very much, so it's across the board? People.
Yeah. I would say like one third newbies, one third healers, one third people who had like something traumatic or something very chronic
where
in their
they're
life.
Now like open, like the supposed to or the old way or whatever doesn't work, so I'm willing to explore like other other things now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's always the gift of chaos and trauma. It's not awesome, but it does open up a new, you know, you become more willing to seek another thing a different way. So, yeah. And so when we say you work with people, though, is it in person, hands-on healing, over the phone? It's all of it.
It is a combination.
When we first started, it was a lot of one-on-one, you know,
in
work.
In person
and over the phone.
Okay.
And, or Skype or, you know,
uh-huh.
the type of way, video call, whatever. And that's how we really started, you know, our business. That's how we started, was one-on-one. And then it became one of those things where people were like, can you teach me about this? Like, can you actually help us learn about this stuff? So we started hosting workshops and classes.
Yeah.
Actually, no. We started hosting workshops and classes because our teachers told us.
Our teachers kicked
us out of class because we were teaching the classes.
Uh-huh.
Like, y'all need to teach your own classes and stop taking classes from us. That's where the switch happened.
Amazing.
In those classes with us, were asking us the questions and we're answering everything. And they're like, you know what?
This is peer led. Well, because so you said, you know, there was like a 7-year span of something, because then you're like, and then we started the business. So what was that 7 years? What are you calling that? You were teaching and you were working with people that was happening?
We were.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like really random.
Yeah.
It comes from friends
and
family, and then friends will refer other people. So it just would come like that.
It wasn't official, but you were like doing this work, and now you're like, all right, we're going to like package that and name it a thing and like that.
Yeah. Cool. It was one of the things that also, you know, when it came to like one of our teachers told us, you know, once you're able to shut things on and off.
What do you mean?
So, like, you know, being an empath or being able to feel people's energy or being able to see things when you want to see it and when you don't want to see it, you know, like cutting it on and off.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're able to do that, then it's like, you know what? All right, you move to the next step that you need to actually help people in this sense. You
really?
Know, so you can do classes, you can do the workshops, you can help people one-on-one. So it was... I think the 7-year span was a lot of just learning about what it is that I can do and what it is that we can do and how to grow in that ability and how to learn from utilize the different modalities, you know? And
yes.
So with that being said, it was at that moment around the 7-8 years mark that we were, okay, all right, I think we're good. We're going to help and use our gifts, you know, to help other people.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing because we were doing it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We were just helping, like, without even knowing.
And organically, it was just coming out of need, out of practice, of just like what was showing up, which I love. But then it's like, you know, when you hear all these journeys where people like have paid their dues, though, or have practiced or have been in the work, when they pop up, you're like, oh, well, that's cool. I wish I could just, you know, interpret my dreams and read out of a book. But it's like, no, you know, you've been in the work, I mean, now it would be like known as like practice clients and practice classes and trial workshops. Like, you've done all of that work, you know? So now when you show up and say, I can do this thing, it's actually from a place of true knowing, you know, like you've gotten results for people. And so I just think that's really important to highlight as well. You didn't just see other folks doing it on the internet and were like, I could do it too.
Because what happened is, and I love that you brought that up, what happened and we really hound in on this is that it's a healing journey. For us, we're more students today than we ever are teachers.
Yeah.
On the back end, what people don't see is every day we talking to our spiritual counselors, going out to meditation classes, going out, we're physically taking classes because we're PhD candidates in this.
Yeah.
Like, we're over here, we're more students than we ever are teachers. And I think a lot of times when it comes to this, people want a quick fix and everything. When it comes to learning about yourself, hounding and knowing yourself, healing, it's not a quick fix. It's truly a journey.
And it's not always yummy and fun.
No, it's not. If you're going into this thinking like, oh, I just want to do this to teach that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
To teach yourself, not to really teach other people. Because we always say, to change the world, you need to change yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So once you will always know, and it will always feel perfectly fine when it's time to now help other people or teach other people and stuff. And I know for us, when we first started, the hardest thing was trying to figure out, how do you charge for this? it didn't feel right in us. And we had to go through a lot of different things, a lot of points where we truly exhausted our chi, our life source of energy, mm-hmm. before we could be like, wow, it's not proper not to exchange energy.
It's
like,
an exchange.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
So can you please speak on that? Because everyone listening is like heart-centered and spiritual, and that is definitely a pain point for our listener. So how did you overcome that?
Let's see.
Get to a place where you can, you know, or at least have the tools where you can talk yourself into it, because we're all on a journey on all the things, right? So how do you, how did you get resolved and like, this is what we do, this is the exchange, we accept for it?
We would do events like, you know, the San Francisco Psychic Fair or the Bay Area's Healers Market, and we learned through other healers. That's a big thing. We learned through other healers, and some of our friends who are healers, they really had to get our lives. They were like, you know what, you're doing too much. And you're not getting enough for it. You know, it's not a proper exchange, because you realize exactly, especially when you're doing big events like that, where you're doing the one-on-one clients a lot, you feel drained afterwards, because one, we didn't know. We were still learning. But one, we had to understand the difference between cutting people's energy off and working with that large of a group of people. We were undercharging so heavily that it was no, even though we were helping so many people, it was no physical proof that we, you know, used our energy and we, you know, did that service for other people. And so when you drain yourself out like that, you have to one, get your energy back together, but two, you have to make sure it's a valuable exchange. If it's not a value of you, then you're just giving it and you're not receiving.
And depleting.
So I'm putting it to me like this, like, as much as we all love apples, you're either going to have to do the work to grow an apple, and you're like, you grow the apple tree and then get the apples for yourself. You're going to have to go to the store and pay someone to give you that. You have to think of it, an apple for an apple type of thing. And I know for me on my end, one of my biggest blockages came ancestrally.
Okay.
And we think about it, I'm of Nigerian descent, so a lot of us of African descent, we were very much, and you know, a lot of descents in general, very much hurt and like killed off and different things for doing some of the natural work that we do.
Okay.
So we hold that ancestral weight of like feeling ashamed of doing spiritual work or holistic work, feeling that we cannot charge, feeling that fear of what other people would think, or even losing our lives based on hounding in on these spiritual energies, that fear of like not wanting to see something because you fear death, you fear you're going to see something like that. It's truly a big ancestral weight for most of us all hold. And for me, it's a matter of really clearing through a lot of that until it felt like, oh my goodness, okay, I can actually move forward on this.
And it's not easy hearing, you know, because we hear it all the time in the work that we do. Oh, you gotta pay for this?
What? But I'm from a different world. But that's hard. But so you have to carry that too, though. Like, you have to be really grounded in your worth and value in the exchange. But that is deep, because it's like, even from an ancestral place, you know, where we talk about our egos or a lizard brain that's trying to protect you, but then when you take it to an ancestral level, like, but my DNA code knows that we have been killed. It's even a deeper level of like, no, like, so your whole stuff is like, we'll just do our gift for free, right? But it is when you're depleting yourself, that is also not thriving and living, and you can't sustain that either.
Exactly, because we have to think, going back in history, and that's why I love ancestral work, though it wasn't so much monetary exchange, back then, like, the medicine woman of the village, or whoever the healers were providing food, were provided housing. There was always an exchange of something. The energetic exchange has always been real. Just today, in this day and age, here's the thing, who's going to buy us the house?
Yeah.
Who's going to buy you the house?
Right. Like, if you got my house on it, then great.
Exactly.
A year's worth of groceries, that's fine. Yeah. And I feel that healers so much are so needed right now, always. And it's true, like, the medicine women, like, those are the people of the tribe who are keeping everybody going and living and delivering the babies and you know, like so important, but people respected, you know, that. And yeah. then it, I don't know, there's been a shift. And so I know that I have a knack for strategy and profitability. And so that's why I focus on healers, because I also know that our planet needs you and needs you to be thriving. And I'm not like a hands-on healer, but I can use like my brand of magic to help, you know, to, because that, I mean, that's really what the planet needs so, so, so much. And I think this conversation around being, again, like just the exchange and not depleting yourself, you know, but instead being compensated for the incredible work you do, right? That it's only going to grow from there, and it's so needed. Mm-hmm. So people need to hear that, absolutely. But for me, it's just easy to think of when I think of it as an exchange, you know, then it's like, oh, A, you value what you kind of invest in time, money, energy, and intention. But also, I've also depleted myself. I mean, you could do it in relationships and friendships, and it's like, it's not really fun to be on the receiving end of a depleted person giving, you know, like that doesn't feel yummy and you can't sustain it. So it's like, it's only for a time. And then what, you know? So it's mm-hmm. just living that and knowing that there's a better way. There is a better way. So I'm glad that you all have come to that place. And so now, you know, you're also spreading your knowledge and magic around the world, because that's another element of what you do. And I know folks listening also have that, you know, location independent or a global citizen, and you all are definitely that. So how did you come to have that part? Because you could just be in the Bay, you know, there, this is like a hot spot for what you do. So how did you come to travel and do what you do?
Well, we've always been, you know, we have, I would nomadic. Like to say we have the nomadic heart.
Yes.
Where we are always, like we say, we're always students. So we want to learn different cultures. We want to mm-hmm. learn about different languages, different, mm-hmm. you know, different experiences and different healing modalities as well. And you meet the most amazing people when you're traveling.
Yeah.
And from my experience, from Demavia's experience, like it's been one of those things where you learn so much about yourself by getting out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was, I mean, that's just kind of how our friendship has been. You know what? You know what, Tanami? I think I'm just going to move to California. Girl, I was on my way up there anyway. So it's just kind of getting out of your comfort zone. Like, if I would have stayed, you know, in Ohio, I wouldn't be where I am right now, you know? And so we just took that whole nomadic heart of ours and decided, you know what? In order for us to be the best Tierra and best Dumebi, the best light sisters that we can be, we need to learn different modalities. We need to learn different cultures. We need to learn where, you know, these modalities came from, the different types of healing. And that's when we were like, you know what, let's go take a trip. We're going to,
one way ticket. But one way. It was one of those things where our backgrounds like are different. So before we were both working in education. Mm-hmm. So my first degree is in industrial systems engineer. Mm. And then Tierra's first degree is in child and family studies. So she was a mental health counselor in Oakland. Both of us coached and worked and did nonprofit work in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And then I used to design curriculum for like charter schools and different things before that. Like engineer.
Yeah.
But with that, and as we grew a lot more in being PhD students in alternative counseling and also having this business part-time, it was that decision, what do? We cannot continually grow this business and keep growing in this and in our knowledge and work at the school or work at this. So we took that leap of faith and said, listen, this was more than a year ago. We were just like, listen, we need to go at it. If we want to learn, if we really world, we want to shed these mental barriers, these heal, etc. We need to go, and we need to go for
like immerse yourself.
Yes. So we got that one way ticket to Cambodia, and since then we've been.
I was gonna ask, what was that first? I do remember you all telling me about the kind of the journey to California and how it was serendipitous. But I was gonna ask, what was the first international trip? And so it was Cambodia.
Together.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It was actually this week last year that we bought that ticket.
Wait, what?
It was like
two weeks last year.
Nice. I love that. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. Like, I just quit my job this time last year. You know, I know for me it was really big because I being in the mental health field.
Yeah.
I've worked in different areas in education and, you know, the probation system and nonprofit, all of that stuff. And I really wanted to help people without the limitation.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know,
bureaucracy and the system, and you're like, are we here for the greater good?
And the thing is, even though we got our degrees in like engineering and child family studies, it was literally, we're using our degrees, you know, we're using the knowledge that we incurred over the years and our experience that we've had over the years to help people. And now we're just bringing our logical knowledge and our spiritual knowledge and putting it into one. And it's been amazing. Like, we don't have that glass ceiling, or we don't have that
that box, that red tape, all that.
Yeah.
That elephant room.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love that. And another thing I wanted to highlight that I appreciate about just your traveling is that you're going to the source. You know, you've studied what you've studied, and you know this and that, and then you also know its origins, and so now you're going to the place where the land where it started or where it comes from. And I have found that that's not always the case, or I've gone to a conference about this, or gone to a, you know, studied this or that, and it's not sourced in like the motherland of the knowledge. And I think that that is really important to pay homage to that, you know. So again, people who do work with you can also be comforted to know that like your knowledge is really sourced from like where the works come from, and then you're blending them all to just help the people that get in front of you, which is really, really cool. And I just appreciate that you do that. So awesome. Another thing I wanted to circle back, because you were mentioning, because I'm definitely empathic, and I also, you know, I do feel like I do feel like all of us do have gifts, and if you just like hone in on them and I don't know, just like develop like your intuition and all that kind of thing. But I know being a like grounded Capricorn, I'm like, Earth, I just want to hold on to it because I can see it and I can rely on it. But, you know, I do also have that intuitive side, and I'm definitely an empath. And one reason why I'm like, I don't want to go too deep, or I don't even want to like look at it, is because there is that like inability to cut off, or, you know, I feel so deeply, or yeah, it's like, I don't want to open it up too much as I like make hands by my head. Cause it's like, I just like don't know. I don't feel like I can control it. So how did you all learn to cut that off, or like, you know, learn, like you said, at a big event, which I totally can relate because I feel like I'm extroverted, but I have to like at conferences, like go away and like recharge because it's such a output. I don't know. And you're doing, you know, you're healing trauma, you're doing ancestral work. Like that is really, really deep. And it is it's a real energy exchange. And so how do you keep yourself like clean, or, you know what I mean? Like not take that on, and you can, you know, cause you can get sick and you can really take on people's stuff. And so how do you handle that? And how did you learn?
We're still learning. We are still learning.
That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
We're still learning.
That's a big
one. But the amount of growth you've made right now is absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
And I think a lot of it is when you heal yourself, you're able to heal other people in that way. Mm-hmm. So you can only meet people as deeply as you've met yourself.
That's right. That is
so
right.
The deeper we go, the more grounded we're able to stay when we're at certain levels. Like, not as deep. Let's put it that way.
Yes. You have a bigger capacity to hold others. Got it.
Exactly. But one of the main things is just learning different tools, like learning how to align your mind, body, and soul. When I say that, I mean this in a very like logical way here. Uh-huh. And a lot of times you're sitting here physically like, I'm trained, I'm this and that, but your mind and your head, you're sitting there, but I want more, I want more, I want more. So then you're not allowing your body to actually cut off. You're still getting more. So is that listening, like communicating myself, listening, my body's telling me this. So my mind should tell me that, like, I need to tell myself this allow my soul to put myself together.
Oh my gosh. Like,
And it's just like cutting it off physically. Like, yes. Literally, I use scissors and cut it off. But my mind has to be there to say, cut it off.
Oh my gosh.
Because here's the thing, you can just be anywhere, you know, and not even realize how open you are until you start getting everything, right?
Yep.
And when you do get it, it's like, okay, let me take a deep breath and let me cut it off. And I'm not saying cutting off your ability of being an empath. I'm talking about cutting off the energy that's attached to you because you're open.
Got you. So, I just was laughing because I was like, that might be a hashtag. We're like, cut it off. Shout out to the empaths. Like,
yes.
Because your aura, a main thing I know is to learn to close in your aura. Mm-hmm. That was a learning lesson for both of us. And your aura extends like almost your arm's width, almost that around your body.
Okay.
And a lot of empaths, what we do, especially when we're not as balanced or aligned, is we just have it open and that's how we get everything.
I think that's
so
me.
What I like to do.
Until I become aware that it's like, no. Or like walking, you know, like walking around like or living. I've also lived in different countries where it's like, you got to bring it in because otherwise I would get so much and it's like, you're doing something.
Exactly. Yeah. And just knowing, like, when you're going into a place, a public place or a place where you know there's going to be a lot of energy, mm-hmm. you imagine your aura closing in on you so that it's not so wide and not mm-hmm. so open, taking in everything, you know, because if it's close to you, then it's
not reaching out and grabbing
people aren't in your personal spaces.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why people can feel when people say you're in my bubble, it's literally because they're in your aura.
Yeah.
And you can feel their aura. You can feel their energy. And that's that uncomfortable feeling. So then that's when you got to close your aura in. And all that means is just imagining your aura. And one, I like to put a protective light around it, like a white light or a lavender, purplish, gold, whatever light around it. And imagine that light coming in and closing your aura closer to your body.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, then you feel, one, you feel safer. You know, it's all about safety here. We want to feel safe wherever we go, you know, and then two, you're able to still interact with other people, but don't in the stuff that they're giving, you know, and sometimes people just don't know that they're giving you everything. Being an empath is very important to really notice when your aura is open and when it's, you know, when you need to shut it in to yourself a little
super
more.
Super helpful. And just knowing that energy is a real thing, you know, like you're saying, like your aura reaches out your arm's length. Like I didn't really realize that. Or, you know, there's like the electromagnetic field of your heart, you know, that it can go a half a mile or something. I don't know. But I had to learn to honor that energy is a real thing. It's invisible. But, you know, just knowing if I'm going into a situation that, like, I always have my sage by me now, like doing certain rituals before I go, the white light protection definitely works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not nothing. And so I do think a first step for folks too is just really honoring, acknowledging that we do have these energy fields and that you are responsible for it. And so to be empowered, like you said, to get in alignment and be safe, like protect yourself and, you know, move through the earth.
Right.
Yeah.
With intention. So awesome. Yeah. But so I wanted to circle back one last thing because So we are hearing, you know, that you do this work with like numerology and ancestral and all of that, but you started to talk about it, but you also do things like workshops. So like how I was saying, I used to interpret my dreams and I should go back and study it more to get more well-versed in it. And that's what you all teach as well. You teach people these tools. Mm-hmm. So can you just talk a little bit about what are the things that you teach people? So people can go to you for healing, but there's also this other aspect.
Yeah. So we actually do not do one-on-one sessions, and I do want to do that right now. We used to. Currently now, we don't do one-on-one sessions unless you are in a long-term program with us.
Okay.
So some stuff that we offer, we have the workshops, like you talked about.
Okay.
We do workshops in person.
Uh-huh.
Most all workshops in person.
Can I ask a question? When you say you do the workshops, are those group sessions of healing, or are they sessions of learning the tools?
That's great.
It's a combination.
Okay. Because workshop we teach, we're also students.
Yeah.
So every workshop you take with us, it's a healing session. Deep healing. For instance, our ancestral healing workshop is always deep in it. We keep it small because we want to be in tune with everyone and then everyone do it with each other as well. Yeah. So it's like we're teaching you tools, but we can only help teach you as far as
Got
and we
it.
Need to like open up and dig into what's going on with you to be able to give you what mm-hmm. you need to help you on your own journey.
Perfect. Awesome.
Most of our workshops are that. Oh, we mm-hmm. have a lot of courses that we do online, which would be like our dream interpretations course that we
yes.
do.
Yes, okay.
Doing it live online, but currently we're building out our online university platform Yay. That will come out this summer.
Uh-huh.
Which we're excited
yeah,
about.
It's really exciting because what we started off, one of our first sets of classes that mm-hmm. we taught were our intuition and spirituality courses. Mm-hmm. And so that is for, you know, people who are, like I said, who are like looking to understand what's going on with them. And then also, like, we have our first class, which is also understanding the gifts that we all possess.
Yeah.
You know, understanding what that. All these gifts are, how they, you know, how they pertain to you, and how to, you know, turn it on, turn it off,
mm-hmm.
you know, work on enhancing your gifts if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, work on not doing it if you don't want to. But that's the one class. And then the next series after that is our guides and angels, like connecting with our guides and angels. So people who are interested in learning about the different types of guides and different mm-hmm. types of angels and how to connect with their own. So that is, like, you know, we teach about that, and we teach about, you know, the ancestral healing and then the dream interpretations. And we just want to keep a good variety of things, so people, when they do come to us not knowing what they're looking for, and they can tell us, like, hey, this is what's going on with me, we can sit there and be like, you know what? This is something you may be interested in.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So it's really.
Mm-hmm. And then
it's so cool.
Aside from the classes, the courses that we teach,
mm-hmm.
we also do long-term programs. So we have, like, our weekend retreats that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We have our week-long international experiences that we do. We have one coming in September in Bali, Indonesia. And then we have our 10-month transformational program for those who are looking to have the consistent one-on-one sessions with a group sessions and really go through, like, a transformational rebirth
yes.
of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, awesome. Transformational rebirth. Okay. So as you can see, these women just come with so much. So obviously everyone's going to want to follow you. So where can we just, like, stalk you so that we can find out when the retreat is and when we can sign up for the 10-month rebirth?
Yeah, so we have, everyone can follow us at on our Instagram page at Light Sisters. So with a Z,
yep.
L-I-G.
And I'll Sisters. Include it in the show notes. Yeah.
Yep, and then also we have our Twitter at Light Sisters, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Our YouTube channel at Light Sisters, the same thing. And then our Facebook at Light Sisters, the same thing. And we also have our website at www.lightsisters.com. On there, you'll be able to see the different programs and also our retreats that we're having and hosting. And also, they'll link to our other, you know, our Bali retreat. So
Perfect.
That would be, you know, harvesting your potential, the Bali experience.
Right. Which actually has its own website.
Yeah.
Because we have the Bali one coming up, but we'll bring in some other ones to different continents around the world.
Beautiful.
Year after.
Yeah. So do you have the website right now?
Yeah. Yep. The website is full going and run.
LightSisters.com, and then for the experiences is www.harvestingyourpotential.com. But if you're on our website, it will link you to that when you look into our programs.
Got you. All right. I just want to write it down just to be sure we can just link it for ease so people can sign up right away. Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for just gracing the podcast with your love and knowledge and light. I definitely have to, like, attend a workshop or an experience with you for sure. So I'm excited to connect more.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you
for having us. Thank you for everything that you do. We met Jennifer in person at a book signing with one of our friends, Izzy Spencer.
Yeah.
And what happens, she's just such a bright light to be around. We connected instantly. We're so grateful we got to meet you in person, and we're continuing to connect.
Yes. So thank you so much.
All right. Shine on, sisters. And if you loved that episode and you want to dive deeper into how to launch your soul-centered business online, I created a free training just for you. Go to jennifercovington.com/freebie and you can snag that training now. That's jennifercovington.com/freebie and you will be ready to go.